Well, good evening to each and every one of you. It's good to see you out tonight. We'll just open in a word of prayer for a moment. Our Father, we come before you again and thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ and for who he is. And Father, we know that we need your help, and we just ask that tonight you would be the one that's honored and glorified here. So we just pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So this evening I'd like to look at some of the things from the life of Moses. I've been encouraged and challenged and enjoyed some of the things I've learned from Moses. And I'd like to share some of those with you, if I could, this evening. There's been a few different great men in the Bible, and Moses is one of them that I think of as a great man. But none of them were perfect. Moses wasn't perfect, and he didn't start out as a great man, or at least we wouldn't really think his start was that great. He was a man that made mistakes, and he had to learn from God's school before he really could be effective for the Lord. When we think of Moses, often we think of him as someone who was the meekest man that ever lived, and he was humble and a great leader, someone who led the children of Israel. But he didn't actually start out that way. He wasn't a humble, meek man when we first meet him. So I'm going to just read some verses from Exodus, and just because there's a lot to cover, what I did is I actually just went and searched for verses with Moses' name in it, and then I'm going to read a bunch of those, and so it's going to leave out some things in between, but hopefully your memory, you can kind of fill in the blanks, and it fits together fairly well, I think, and it'll hopefully be enough to just remind you of some of the points that I'd like to draw out. So I'm going to start in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 10 and read through some of these different verses. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And Moses said unto God, who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am, And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name for ever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And Moses answered and said, But, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren, which are in Egypt, and see whether there be yet alive. And Jethro said unto Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go and return into Egypt, for all the men that are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass and returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return unto Egypt, see that thou do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, and he will not let the people go. And the Lord said unto Aaron, Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And the king of Egypt said unto them, Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? Get ye to your burdens. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel. But they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. That the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. And Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord commanded. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Now I'm going to just stop there. So That was a quick fill in the blanks reading from Exodus there. And just some of the points that stood out to me. And so, first of all, when we find Moses, he's in Pharaoh's court there. And he grew up there, and he was brought up in all that the Egyptians could offer. They gave him the best of the training and the best of what the world could offer him there. But Moses, he realized that he wasn't a real Egyptian. He was an Israelite. And so he went out and decided he was going to take a look at what was going on. And I wonder what all went through Moses' mind. He went out there and he saw that the Israelites, his people, were slaves. And as he saw that, he probably thought, and he did think, we read in Acts, that he thought that the Lord had prepared him to deliver Israel. And he figured, I'm sure he thought, well, this is a perfect timing. I'm here and I've been given this opportunity, this training. I've been brought up with this power. God must want to use it. And so he saw the way that those people were being mistreated. And I'm sure he figured, you know, Lord's not going to enjoy seeing the children of Israel being persecuted like this. And Moses is 40 years old at this time. And if you remember back, even before Moses was born, there already Pharaoh was killing all the young baby boys. And he was really working these slaves hard. So it wasn't a nice time for the children of Israel at all. And I can see how Moses would have been distressed with this situation. So he thought, well, he better do something about that. And in the process of looking over things, he killed an Egyptian. And then everything just fell apart for Moses. And, you know, within a very short period of time, he's running for his very life, and he's fleeing away. Everything that he had planned on, figured on, it just had fallen apart. And there's probably a lot of questions in Moses' life and what he was thinking. He probably wondered what had gone wrong. What had he done? Why didn't the Lord use him to deliver Israel? And what was going to happen now? And I'm sure he was discouraged. But you know what? God had a plan for Moses' life. And the next 40 years, Moses was there in the wilderness and he was feeding sheep. And Moses didn't really realize it, but God was using that to prepare him to really bring out the children of Israel. So I'm just going to go the way I have it laid out, and I'm just going to kind of go through some of the verses that I've read and some of the ones that maybe I haven't read, but just through Exodus and some of the points from Moses' life as we progress. So in chapter 2, we see that Moses, he was right about God's idea of delivering the children of Israel and through him. And we read that in Acts as well, that Moses, he thought that the children of Israel would have understood how God was going to deliver them through his hand. So he was right about that part, but he wasn't right about God's way of doing it or God's timing. The method was his own for Moses. And for him to really, for Moses to be effective, God had more further training than what Egypt could offer. And so in chapter 2, we see Moses, he's feeling ready to deliver Israel. But later on, we see a completely different Moses. Egypt's way, which is the way of the world, it's a way of conquest. It's conquering and it's overcoming and being stronger than those around you. And it's so easy for us to jump out, and we can rush ahead of God and the plans and want to do things in our own strength. And, you know, our flesh, it likes that. It likes to go ahead and to do things in its own strength. And it feels good for our own pride, but it's not the way God had. And Moses had gone along with that thinking and that way when he tried to deliver Israel. And he had gone and tried to use force. But when we think of how the Lord Jesus came and how the way that God works, it was completely different. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And for me, that was a real big contrast, how Moses, he tried to kill someone else to deliver Israel. Well, when Jesus came to deliver us, he gave himself. We go on in chapter 2 there, and Moses, he's running away, he's fleeing. And he's come to an end of himself. He tried to save Israel in his own strength, but now he's running for his life. And it's interesting that he came, and he comes and he sits down at a well. And there's probably different ideas that we think of when we think of a well, but one of the things that I think of is that there's water there, and there's a place where when you're thirsty, you would want to drink if you're in your need of thirst. And so Moses comes to this place, and I'm sure he took a drink of water there, and he was resting there. And then there's some others that come that are in need of water as well. And these girls come, and Moses comes along, and he helps them to water their sheep and to provide them with water, that living water that could quench their thirst. And, you know, Moses really didn't plan on being there to water these sheep. That wasn't why he ran away from Israel or from Egypt. He had a big plan in his mind, but God had this plan lined up that Moses would end up at this well and water these sheep. And Moses was able to provide a service and to help with that because of that well. And sometimes in our lives, we can have a desire to serve the Lord in some way or something and have a big plan in mind or things that we think we should do and completely miss the little things that the Lord has for us just in our day-by-day places where we are, where we're working or where we're going. And sometimes the Lord has those set up for us. And, you know, as we're at that well of the Lord Jesus Christ and we're refreshed ourselves, we can then pass that water on to others that are thirsty and that are in need. The world around wants, just like those other shepherds, they want to take away from what those girls needed, the water, and they're trying to push that away and steal what is needed, and they don't want others to have the water of life. And we have that opportunity to provide them that through the Lord Jesus Christ and share that with them. And so Moses was used of the Lord there, even though that wasn't really what he had planned. But right there we see that God was teaching him a lesson in humility. And growing up in Pharaoh's court, I'm sure Moses was used to being served and getting things done for him. And now he's serving. And he goes on to care for the sheep for 40 years for Jethro. And he is faithful with that. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, there's a little phrase that says, in the process of time. And that stuck out to me a little bit. Sometimes, I know for me, we like to do things in our own time schedule, or we get ahead of what the Lord wants, just like Moses did. And God can sometimes, to us, to our timetable, sometimes it seems like God's pretty slow in the way that he's doing things. Moses, he was 40 years old. He's been waiting for a while here. And he doesn't realize it, but he's going to wait another 40 years before God uses him in Israel there again. So God had a plan, and God's plan is best in his own way and in his own time. And, you know, we can really think that God's taking a long time, but he's got it figured out, and he knows what's going on. For Moses, he's probably sitting at that well, really wondering, what does God want me to do now? Where am I going to go from here? I don't have anybody around that I know or am used to. Or everything he left, everything, his family, his home, he left it all there in Egypt. And so he was really probably had a lot of questions. What does God want me to do now? But he decided to serve there in the wilderness. And maybe it was just getting away. And he had, I don't know if he gave up on some of those ideas. I don't know exactly what Moses was all thinking. But we know that he was faithful in serving his house there. We read that in Hebrews. And so what seems like a long time for us is just what God has in mind. And for Moses, it was 80 years that he had to wait. There's other examples I thought of. The Lord Jesus, he was here 30 years before he became his public ministry, which was only 3 years long. And then there's others. There's Paul. He was a man who knew the Old Testament, but yet God pulled him aside for a time before he really began his ministry for the Lord. So it's important that we wait for God's time and his process of time, because he knows what is best and he knows when it's best. We go on to Exodus chapter 3 and 4, and Moses is now feeding those sheep, and God comes to him and asks him now to go back and deliver Israel. And this time Moses is completely different than the first time that he tried to deliver Israel. He feels completely inadequate. Moses probably felt like a defeated man, maybe in some ways. He had already tried to deliver Israel. He'd given it a good shot in his own best way that he could. So Moses, he comes up with all kinds of different excuses. He felt that he was completely unable to do what God wanted him to do. But, you know, this was the very place he needed to come to for God to be able to use him. In his own strength and ability, Moses wasn't ready for God to use, but God chooses to use Moses when he feels that he had nothing to offer God. Yet at the first Moses, he really wasn't willing at all to serve God, but in the end, he decides to obey, and because of that obedience, God did honor him. I found a note from J. Oswald Sanders when I was studying, and he said about Moses, he said, his inventory of disqualifications covers lack of capability in chapter 3, verse 11, lack of message in chapter 3, verse 13, lack of authority in chapter 4, verse 1, lack of eloquence, chapter 4, verse 10, lack of special adaptation, chapter 4, verse 13, lack of previous success, chapter 5, verse 23, and lack of previous acceptance, chapter 6, verse 12. A more complete list of disabilities would be difficult to conjure up, but instead of pleasing God, His seeming humility and reluctance stirred his anger. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, chapter 4, verse 14. In point of fact, the excuses Moses advanced to show his incapacity were the very reasons for God's selection of him for the task. So Moses didn't realize it, but he had come to the end of himself, and that's where he needed to be for God to use him. There was also other things, like I said already, that we read in Hebrews, how Moses was faithful in all his house. And Moses had been serving there faithfully, and God was looking for those things. Sometimes we want to do great things for God before we're willing to be faithful at the little things. And God needs us to be faithful at those little things before we can really be effective in the great things for him. For Moses and for us, either being too eager or being unwilling isn't letting God have control of our lives. And we can easily swing from one end to the other, just like Moses did. Especially after disappointments that Moses had faced after trying to serve God earlier, it is easy to swing the other way and feel like, well, let's not be too eager about this time. But just because God didn't use Moses that first time, it didn't mean that God didn't have a plan for Moses later on down the road. And sometimes we have to just be waiting and ready for when the Lord wants to use us and how he wants us to be used. So God starts working on Moses. Moses has these excuses, but God shows Moses some things. He shows Moses that he had, he turns that rod into a serpent. Moses casts it down. Then Moses puts his hand in, it becomes leprosy, and then he puts his hand in again and it is cleared. And then he pours water out and it becomes blood. And I don't want to draw too much out of it, but the serpent reminds me of Satan, the leprosy reminds me of sin, and then the spilt blood, the blood that was built out. It reminded me how, and maybe God was trying to point this out to Moses, that he had power over Satan and over leprosy, over sin, and really it was through the blood. And so that was a neat little thing that I noticed there. But God also just demonstrated to Moses that he can use ordinary things, just a piece of a branch or water or Moses' hand, just as well as ordinary people to do extraordinary things. A simple tree branch could become the staff of God. As we read later on, that Aaron took the rod of God in his hand. And so often we focus on ourselves and on our weaknesses and who we are or who we don't think we are, rather than realizing that God made us and he wouldn't ask us to do anything that he wouldn't equip us for. And when we are able to do something in our own strength, then I know for me anyhow, when I can do something myself, I often will take the glory for it, rather than when it's above and beyond what I can do in my own, and when it's hard for me, then the Lord's the one that's honored through our weakness, through my weakness. But then we also read, and I didn't read this to you, but there's the story of as Moses is heading back to Egypt, there's a story of circumcision there. And before Moses could be fully used of God, he had to be obedient to God's commands and remove everything that hindered. Moses, to that point, hadn't circumcised his sons, but God met him and challenged him on that there. And when God calls us to service, we need to be completely obedient to him and not let little things of the flesh get in the way. of our lives. And we need to keep ourselves separate and set apart for God. God wants us as we are and who we are. And he will make us fit for the work he calls us to. But there's no place for the things of the flesh and the world around us in our life for God. God wants a clean vessel, pure, set apart for his use. And for me, that's a challenge too. Is there things in my life that are hindering me from being effective for the Lord? And, you know, if we're wanting to know more of the will of the Lord or what he wants us to do, we can't be expecting to him to show us that if we're not already doing what he's asked us to do so far. And the will he has shown us, if we're not being obedient to that, then we shouldn't be wanting to go on and try to do something more great. So then Moses, he heads over and he gets to Egypt. In chapter 5, we find Moses there. He's gone before Pharaoh, and he's told Pharaoh that God wants him to let the people go. And Pharaoh, he gets upset about that, and he takes away the straw, and he works the people harder. And so Moses comes back to God, and in chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, we read that Moses, he seemed to be confused about this, and he's wondering, why in the world did God send him? Because nothing's going right. God hasn't delivered the people, like he said. And things have just gotten worse since he obeyed what God told him to do. It's not gotten any better. It's gotten worse. And so Moses could have felt like God isn't really doing what he promised here. It's not going the way it should. Maybe Moses had questions in his own mind, wondering if he had been wrong about this. Had he misunderstood? Did God really send him? Was it, you know, he had already tried once in his own strength. Moses probably remembered that and probably wondered, you know, is this all a big mistake? Did God really mean what he said? Or, you know, was he probably felt, well, I knew I was disqualified. I couldn't do this. I knew it wasn't going to work out. So he was discouraged with that. But God goes on and he tells Moses that, you know what, he's going to be with them and to be obedient. And so we read on a little bit farther again, though. Moses comes back to God and he says, you know what, the Israelites are not listening to me now. And so the Israelites aren't listening to me, my own brethren. Why should I even bother going to Pharaoh? And Moses, he really felt that he really couldn't speak well, and he couldn't say what needed to be said. And Moses felt that Pharaoh is just not going to believe him. And so he just thought, you know what, if God's going to do this through me, this it's not going to work. He didn't really know what was coming and how it was all going to work out. And we often, you know, when we're following the Lord, it's not going to necessarily be easy. And the Lord doesn't promise that it will be, but he has promised that he will be with us. And sometimes, you know, I find myself a little bit like Moses. We almost argue with the Lord about what he has asked us to do or what he wants. And Moses was a little bit arguing with the Lord there and saying, you know what, this isn't the way you said. And, you know, we can find that in our own life, that even though Moses had been there at the burning bush, he had stood on that holy ground, and he knew what it was to be talking to God, yet we still sometimes we have questions in our lives. Sometimes we face trials, and we wonder. But Moses did keep going on, and he decided to be obedient and to listen to what God had said. And you know what? He learned that he had to stop looking at himself and at the things around and just to trust God and let God take care of whatever it was that was going to go on, instead of him trying to figure out and make sense of it all and to have his plan and how this is going to work. Moses had to let go of that and let the Lord work it in humility. And so we go on and we see this change happening in Moses. And we read a little bit farther on in Exodus chapter 14. We read that Moses is now telling others to trust in God. And so we see a change that's happening. He's telling others not to be afraid and to just trust in God. And, you know, as we grow in our life and with Christ, we should also see that. And sometimes we will go through those bumpy roads and those trials, but they're so that we can learn to grow in him and to be humble and to trust him. And then also we can go on and share with others what Christ has done and how he can be trustworthy. Then we see Moses in chapter 15. Moses, he's led the people of Israel. He's successfully led them, as God said, out of Egypt. There had been a huge, great deliverance. They'd seen God work. The Israelites, they were free. They had just seen God destroy the Egyptians, and they had been singing praises to God, and all of a sudden they ran out of water, and everything changed. And the people came, and they came and complained to Moses, and they were wondering, what are they going to drink? And they were upset. And you know what? Moses, this time, he comes and he cries out to God and asks, what do you want me to do? And asks God for help. And he didn't get upset there. He didn't go in his own strength in this time. He trusted God. And God gave him an answer. And Moses just simply obeyed and God allowed the people to drink. Excuse me. I guess that'll wake you up, yeah. In chapter 17, the people again are complaining about a lack of water, and they're very upset. And they are ready to kill Moses over this. And again, Moses cries out to God, and God gives an answer, and Moses again obeys. So there's a huge change that's happened in Moses, is what I've noticed. That instead of him going out and killing these Egyptians and fighting in his own power, he's humbly let the Lord work in his life and be effective for the things of the Lord. But Moses was still a man, and there were still things that he had to face. And in chapter 17, we also notice that there was a battle going on. The Ammonites came around and they attacked Israel from the rear on their weakest side. And the Ammonites, they remind us, or remind me, of the flesh. And so Moses, he knew what it was like to battle with the flesh. And the flesh is always with us and always will be as long as we are here on this earth. And, you know, just because they had been rescued from Egypt and had been saved from that didn't mean that they didn't have an enemy to deal with and to face. And so Moses and the Israelites, they had to battle with the flesh continually. And they realized that it wasn't a battle that could be done in their own strength. Moses was really learning this again and again that he had to depend on the Lord. And as we serve the Lord, we can be sure that the flesh is going to be there to cause problems. Our flesh, it knows where we're vulnerable and knows when we're vulnerable. And it likes to take advantage of it, just like Amalek did. And it will attack in our weakest spot, at our weakest time. But you know, Moses, he didn't let the flesh win. He got together with others who could help him. And he trusted in the Lord and asked the Lord for help. And he relied on those others to hold his hands up so that he could do that battle. And sometimes we need others to challenge us in our own Christian walk and in the things of the Lord, just to keep us walking and to battle in the face of the battles that we face, and to fight those battles and to keep facing in the things that we face in this world, so that we can be encouraged and encourage one another as well and in our Christian walk. I don't know where each of you are at. We all are at different places in our life. But I think there's something we can all learn from the life of Moses, and that just to let the Lord work in us and to have a humble and a meek and quiet spirit and trust him. And be obedient just as Moses learned. And just because things don't go the way we planned or how we thought doesn't mean God's not got a plan or that he's not going to do some work through us. We need to just let God work in his way and in his time, and to trust him and not get discouraged with the thoughts or with the flesh or with the things around us, the challenges, the mistakes that we've made, but to let the Lord work through us how he will, and then to allow others to be an encouragement in our lives as well. And to look for those day by day little things. Maybe this week we'll be bumping into somebody who needs water from the well, and that we can encourage, and we can maybe provide them. Maybe they don't know Christ, and we can share the gospel with them. So I guess we'll close. Father, we thank you for your word and how you've given us the life of Moses and others as well. And Father, we can see how they were men and how they lived a life much like we did in many ways. It might have been a different culture and a different time, but Father, their lives and their hearts were similar to ours. And yet, you chose to use them just as they were, whether they felt, when they felt, that they couldn't be of service for you. Lord, that was the time that you came and showed them that with your power, you could work in them. We just pray as we go out from here this week, Father, that we might be a bright shining light for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would let him do the work through us, that we wouldn't try to go in our own strength, but trust him for what is to come. So we just commit this to you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.